97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Second Amendment Radio, the great outdoors. Happy weekend to you. Glad you joined us here. Bo Matthews in here along with me. And Carl Middleman. And,
that was a pre-sample hiccup there, wasn't it?
It was. I hiccuped because I've been sampling a treat that we're going to talk about later in the show today, Bo, which is...
bourbon. It's not bourbon.
Clementine's ice cream. Sunday is National Ice Cream Day.
Love that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Do you love ice cream?
Oh, I do.
I mean, who really doesn't? I mean, they even have...
There are people that... say they don't.
I love custard, but I love good ice cream. And I'll be real honest with you, just good old plain vanilla. If it's high quality vanilla bean ice cream,
yeah,
I love it.
I would
just
agree with that. I would agree with that. You know, I was at a Culver's this week. I had a root beer float, and I thought about a turtle sundae. My mom always loved turtles. And so anyway, yeah. Love ice cream, probably two or three nights a week. But really, you know how you try to get together? I'm gonna put this idea out there because my wife thought of it. I was like, oh, this is a great idea. You try to get together with friends for dinner, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
It's like, oh, it's so tough. You know, where are we going to go and all this stuff? So, like, we play cards with some neighbors every once in a while, and we get together after dinner. So we don't have to worry about who's feeding who, but we get together, we have snacks, that kind of thing. And so my wife and I thought of the idea, well, why don't we just try to meet up with Mark and his wife for ice cream somewhere? Just to, you know, instead of a whole evening, let's just hang out and eat ice cream and BS. And don't you think that's a good idea?
As opposed Fantastic
to
idea.
Devoting 5 or 6 hours with people that you kind of don't. Don't know.
See, he mentioned Mark and Michelle specifically there. Did you hear that?
But if you go to Clementine's, there's booze and bourbon in the ice cream.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, there was a place years ago that I went to called, I thought it was pronounced Isis, but it had booze-infused stuff. Like, I don't know if it was the original or if it's a hack or whatever, but they were in South City, and I think I had the White Russian ice cream malt or whatever.
Okay.
So, see, I got your attention. But anyway, that's my idea. For people that don't want to devote 5 or 6 hours to people you barely know, I've never met your wife. That's all. The only reason I'm saying that.
Nice person. And the reason we opened up with... On the Road Again by Willie Nelson.
Thank you for diverting the show.
Mark Cox is
keeping us on target.
Getting ready to go on the road again.
Yeah. To depart. Yeah, the wife went ahead of me with the camper. That's a whole story in and of itself.
She's a boss.
I'm telling you, she's a boss.
I told my wife that, and she's like, ooh, she's a boss. Like, but that's inspiring. She hooks up the truck and the RV and goes.
Hey, I'm an equal opportunity kind of guy. There's nothing that physically demanding about towing a camper other than remembering all the things you've got to remember to get it set up and hooked up. And if you've
and the 45
never
feet behind you.
If you've never towed anything, that can be a little intimidating, but a little practice makes perfect. And she wanted to do it because she can work remotely and I can't. So she can leave early without me and have her own adventures, like with our daughter and stuff. And I mean, it's good for her.
Bonding.
Wonderful memories.
And, plus, she gets away from me.
Gets away from you and misses you, because how can she miss you if you don't go away?
What did Nikki Haley say this week? People get mad at me because I don't love Trump 100% of the time. I don't love my own husband 100% of the time.
Oh, no. That's perfect. So the beauty of it is you drop in a hot air balloon in Montana somewhere later next week.
Like a 747, not a hot air balloon.
And everything's all set up for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
you were
the
spoiled.
Beauty of it, man. Now, we're going to change campsites in the middle of the week. So we're going to Glacier National Park. We're going to go to Apgar, which is on the western side of the park. We're going to go to Two Medicine, which is on the eastern side of the park. And we're going to spend 10 or 11 days boondocking, which means no electricity, no water, no sewer. Everything's self-contained.
Dang.
We're cooking over a campfire.
Your 15-year-old loves that.
Now, obviously, the camper has propane, so it'll run the refrigerator and the stove if we need it, and the hot water heater.
And
showers are going to be limited because we're limited to whatever water we can carry in.
Which streams? Is about how much? How much can you carry on that? Do you know?
100? I think it's 30 gallons or something. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it's impressive that, you know, this is the arrangement that you've come up with to fly in and just, you know, you're like a helicopter. You're just like a, what do they call those helicopter stars?
I'm driving back with her. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm flying out and driving back. I just couldn't take 3 weeks off. That's kind of what it came. They frowned on that
at
the radio station.
He has unlimited PTO, though.
Well, call it in,
for whatever that works. The boss doesn't see it that way.
No, he does not.
No, not at all. So here's my, very quickly, shout out to the folks at Byerly RV and a guy that I met from Winfield, Missouri, named Brian Adams. Can I just tell you that? So we get the camper ready. We pull it out. We're ready to go. And my wife and I realize that the back wheel, one of the back wheels on the passenger side, looks crooked.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, she's like, that's not right. And I'm like, no, that's not right. And I crawled under it, and it took my lizard brain a few minutes to realize what was wrong. And one of the supports that's welded onto the frame for the spring,
like a leaf spring,
had broken.
Okay.
It was just dangling there.
Is it four wheels on the back?
Four.
Tandem?
Yeah,
okay.
Tandem axle. So I panicked. I'm like, what am I going to do? And I called you, and I called our friend at Byerly, Warren Patton, and he's like, hey, bring it down tomorrow morning. We'll get it looked at. He was perfectly willing to accommodate us. I appreciate that, because we were on the verge of having to cancel our vacation. And my brother-in-law said, you should call a mobile welder. And I was however old I was last week, I was that many years old
right.
when I found out there's such a thing.
Yeah.
And this guy's name is Brian Adams. He runs Adams Mobile Welding.
And what did he do?
He ran to me.
Oh,
he did. He ran to me the next day at 10 a.m. the next day. He was in my driveway with his MIG welder, and he fixed my trailer right there in my driveway. It took him a couple hours. It was a little bigger job than he thought. And then we were on our way. She left that afternoon.
But the night before, when you contacted me, she should have been on the road already.
She was going to leave the night before. But thank goodness we discovered this before she pulled out and got it halfway across Missouri somewhere. Because you could drive it that way, but the wheel was askew, and it would have caused more damage than, you know, down the road pretty quickly.
Any reason why it happened? Was it just a failure?
According to everybody I know who's in the RV world and has been for years, it's fairly common.
Oh.
It's just on these pull trailers, it's fairly common because, you know, you're bouncing around a lot. There's some, you know, unbalanced weight sometimes going around corners, and it can happen. Like there's a weak weld and suddenly the bracket snaps off there. So anyway, fixed. I just have to give a little plug here. Adams Mobile Welding up in Winfield. Brian did a great job for us. He got us taken care of, and I can't thank him enough.
He ran to you.
And by the way, prior to starting this show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, Mark was on the phone with his wife, who is out west already, and said, "You're not outdoors.
I am.
She knows how to rub it in.
She's staring at the Grand Tetons
this weekend.
Isn't that awesome?
Good
at Jenny Lake, and it looked beautiful.
That's great, man. That's great. I'm excited for that trip. I'm excited for the full report. We got Carl going on
I'm going to Canada a week from this weekend.
Hey.
Beauty. Going it's my Canada, annual fishing trip.
I know.
What did you say?
Fishing trip.
Oh, okay. Thought that word got mumbled there.
It did.
It might get beeped or fly.
I hope you catch the big one this year, Carl.
Last year, I caught the biggest fish.
I know.
By an eighth of an inch, because they were gunning for me. And I caught it early. Of the 4 days, I caught it on day two. And so for the next 2 days, everybody was like, I'm going to beat that. And
nobody
by an eighth of an inch.
I'm doing that. I'm going to my friend Darren, who we had on last show, who talked about his trip to Canada with his dad. He's been doing it for 30 years.
Love that.
And I would love to start a tradition like that with my son so that we're doing that, right? I think that'd be fun.
It is a very good time, and it's relaxing, and you're in the outdoors, and you can catch fish.
And I will tell you, I don't know if they have Wi-Fi up there, 5G, whatever. I've been without Wi-Fi all this week. Ooh. And let me tell you, it has been a blessing.
Yeah.
As much as I need to be on it for what I do with voiceover work and other things that I do, I've just really enjoyed it. I'm mad because I don't have it. I wonder if I can get my bill prorated for the 4 days I've been without it. But
yes, you should. Call them.
Can I tell you the personal hell of a Gen Zer, a 15-year-old?
Oh, who's
to have to go
without it?
To have to go to Glacier?
Yeah.
There will be no water, no anything. Electricity, no nothing for 11 days. She's going to be without, like in Apgar, there's a place in Apgar where we know you can get a cell signal. But outside of that,
on your own.
You're on your own. Wow. Nothing. Nothing.
She's a 1980s kid.
She's going to find out what it's like to go on vacation in the 1980s. When you had to go on those long car rides and say, I spy with my little eyes. Right. So, you know, play those games to keep yourself busy.
Or maybe got on dad's CB radio and talked to the truckers.
The big fish.
Who's this kid on here?
That's great. But your wife has done this before, the solo trip to meet up with you out east. Was that last weekend?
She went to New York City last year.
Last year, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was your daughter on that trip?
She was.
Yeah, well, there's Wi-Fi in
Jersey. There was cell signal all the way.
Last time we went to Glacier... 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we did go into an area called Mini Glacier, and it's all the same thing. Once you leave the main road, there's no Wi-Fi coverage at all. So
right.
We were only there for a couple of days, but still, she complained loudly for a couple of days.
Well,
how will my friends know where I am? Well, they don't need to.
Yeah, no TikTok updates, no Instagram updates. We've got kind of a theme going. We are in Missouri,
yes.
But we're talking about your trip, and we'll get a full recap of that when you get back. Next week, we're going to talk to Ron Geisler from Adventure 360. He's also in Montana, near Jordan, Montana, is where they've been doing the excavating. I talked to Fire Chief Brown out in Eureka. He went out there, had a blast. So we're going to talk to Ron and find out. Maybe we'll get Chief on too, talk about his experience.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic deal. But anyway, we are here now. It's the weekend. We've had rain. That's wonderful. Hope your weekend is going good. Moving right along.
And up next, we'll talk to Luis Valdez. He's with the Gun Owners of America. He lives down in Florida, where they've come and joined Missouri in constitutional carry with a few exceptions, a few differences. We're going to talk to him about that when we continue with Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Baby, you a song.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory. They're into pair, and they have what you need. You want a suppressor? Oh, they've got them. They've got the best selection in the Midwest, and maybe even beyond that. You can find them on Manchester Road, just a half mile east of 270. Tell them Bo sent you into Razorback Armory online, razorbackarmory.com.
Absolutely. Speaking of arms, you can never have enough, right?
Yeah.
It's like if somebody says to me, why do you need so many radios? Like, I collect antique radios.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I only collect as many as I need, right? And don't even start on me about guns. My wife says, we have all the guns we need? I don't know. I might go to the store and determine I need another one.
But I did ask you last time we were out at St. Louis Skeet and Trap,
yes.
Hey, what firearm are you looking for next? Because you've always got one.
And what did I tell you?
A new shotgun.
I want a nice...
Over and under.
Over and under.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my friends have those, and I feel less than when I show up and don't have one.
Well, still an impressive collection, I'm sure, but I'd love to hear about the antique radios.
Oh, okay.
That's so cool. How many do you have? Too many.
Too many. I can't. The numbers don't matter, really, Bo. That's what I tell
my wife. Oldest radio. How about the oldest radio you have?
1930s, probably. Yeah, I would guess.
That's nice. Pretty slick.
Yeah.
That's pretty slick. Probably can't pick up 97.1, though, on it.
No.
It's AM.
No. It's all AM, baby. But I do have one with the button on it for KMOX still, because it was my wife's grandmother's radio, and it's still got the KMOX button on it that you can push to automatically dial it to
KMOX. Says it on there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Thanks
cool.
for listening to KMOX.
Yeah,
today.
Thank you. There you go.
Wow. Okay. Well, we have a guest. On the line.
Hearing all of this.
I'm so sorry about that. Luis Valdez, Florida State Director of Gun Owners of America. Welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
Thank you, gentlemen. I just want to reiterate, you could never own enough stuff that makes you happy. I'm currently on the hunt right now for a Smith & Wesson Top Break in .44-40. They only made it in the 1880s to 1913.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Good for you.
And how's that hunt going?
Expensive.
Just the hunt is expensive.
Yeah,
how are you shopping?
Well, the ones you find are probably expensive. I briefly had a collector of curios and relics FFL because I wanted to collect some antique firearms,
right.
And you can kind of skip the middleman and have them shipped right to you.
Sure.
If you've got that. So that's nice. But I'm with you. I'm fascinated by old firearms.
Yep. So, but yeah, it's expensive. I keep looking at it. I'm like, nope, that's above my price range right now. But to the meat and potatoes, gentlemen, the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we have been a permitless concealed carry state here in Missouri for a while now, much to the dismay of the progressive left here in the state. And once again, all of their worst expectations of that didn't come to be. They said, well, how can you let just anybody carry a weapon? Well, I don't know, because it's their constitutional right. Now they've got it in Florida, right?
Yep, we have had it enacted since July 1st, and, you know, they were going to tell us, oh, God, there's going to be Wild West shootouts and rivers of blood flowing through the streets. And as a Floridian, you know, I have to go out every day with my hose and just hose down the sidewalk. No, I'm kidding. The only thing I've had to do is go outside and get the umbrella because it rains every day.
Yes.
There has been no mass shootings. We haven't had criminals up-arm themselves and loot and pillage the local Walmarts and malls and shopping centers. All we've had is everyday Floridians going about their day as law-abiding citizens exercising their God-given inalienable rights.
And don't you feel safer when you're out in public knowing that those law-abiding citizens are out there like yourself and enjoying that right?
As a former law enforcement officer, I feel exceptionally safer now knowing that the law-abiding public is armed and they don't have to jump through ridiculous government-imposed hurdles to be able to defend themselves. Because I remember this from personal experience as a cop. When seconds count, we were minutes to an hour away, and sadly, law enforcement is reactionary. We're there after the fact to go after the dirtbags that committed crime. We're not there to prevent crime nine out of ten times. And that's just a fact of life. If you want to prevent crime, guess what? That's on you, the individual. And I feel safer knowing that now my fellow law-abiding Floridians, they don't have to rely on a government bureaucrat to grant them a privilege for something that should be a right. And that they don't have to wait on the line with a 911 operator saying, the police are responding as quick as they can.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. I love that point. And it's one that needs to be driven home. There's a presumption of wrongdoing on the part of the left. The left presumes that anybody who wants to have a gun has ill intent with it. And that's where their thinking comes from on this. Well, how can people carry a gun without a permit? Well, my permit is the United States Constitution. As long as I'm a law-abiding citizen, that shouldn't be a problem in any state. Now, we know it is in a lot of states that haven't allowed this yet. But in this particular case, if you're a felon, you're not allowed to have a weapon in the first place. You can't constitutionally carry one.
Correctamundo. You hit the nail right on the head. You know, part of this is the left is their own internal projection of their own violent machinations. They can't trust anyone else with a firearm. They think everyone that owns a firearm is going to go unhinged and commit wanton acts of violence against innocent people. When in reality, that's their own problem in their own heads, because hundreds of millions of law-abiding Americans carry a firearm every day and they don't have any issues. But to drive the point even further, the Constitution doesn't even grant us these rights. The Constitution simply enumerates these rights. The Founding Fathers clearly stated in their own writings that the Bill of Rights simply reinforces certain inalienable rights that have existed since time began, since even before our country was founded. The right to keep and bear arms is as old of a right, and the idea of self-defense is as old as a right, that even the Roman Republic recognized it as a right.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I will say this. For over 30 years, I've lived in either Missouri or Florida, and when I was in Florida in the early 2000s, I acquired my concealed carry permit and the class that we took. I want to make this point very clear. Because it is legal to carry without a permit in Florida or Missouri, doesn't make you any safer. You have to practice. You have to practice, and you have to continue to train, because because when it goes down, when it hits the fan, you have to be ready. You have to be accurate. I know a lady that still carries a beautiful, I mean, this firearm, and Mark knows her. I'm not going to name her on air, but she has a beautiful 1911 in her purse, and she was so proud to show it to me. I said, wow, when's the last time you were at the gun range? She was like, I've never been. I was like, get that thing out of your purse. So, Lewis, I hope you agree to urge people to get to the range and practice. Practice with your dominant hand. Practice with your less dominant hand. We've been doing the Mantis X training, and there's a lot of different scenarios that go through your head when you're doing that. It's also a huge help. Even if it's not at the range just doing the digital thing, it's a big help. So safety and practice is what I preach as much as I can.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with that. We here at GOA, we believe that people should be responsible gun owners and should freely seek training. And the interesting thing that we've noticed is in every state that has adopted permitless carry, that you have had a separation of the wheat from the chaff. You've had good instructors that put on a good product. They've had an increase in students attending their classes. And all of the bad instructors, the ones that just did the bare minimum to meet the state requirements, they've gone out of business. And that was a problem that we had here in Florida with our concealed carry permitting system. You had instructors that literally would sit someone down for 4 hours, talk about state statute, and then the quote-unquote firearms training ones, they had them shoot a single shot of 22 short into a bucket of sand in a hotel lobby. And these people would leave these instructors with a false sense of security in their mind, saying, oh, well, I'm properly trained in handling a firearm. When in reality, no. But you had an artificial market created by mandatory training scenarios under Florida's law that created these bad instructors. Now that you don't have this, people have the money that would have been spent to simply meet the bare minimum to get a certification of training, to get their fingerprints, to pay the fees, you know, all the stuff you got to do to get. Now, all of that time and money, they could freely spend it on a quality instructor. And that is what's happening. That's what we've noticed across the country. We saw that in Texas. We've seen that across the country. In every state that has passed it, you've had more people going to top quality instructors.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet you have. And, you know, that's a point that I think bears repeating in terms of permitless carry, constitutional carry here. There are some places you can take your gun if you're a licensed concealed carry holder that you can't take if you're only carrying it, unlicensed or constitutional carry. And this doesn't change that, I would imagine, in Florida either, right? I mean, if you have your permit, they have to ask you to leave if they determine that you have a gun and it's not allowed in there. In some areas, like if a business owner posts on the wall, no weapons of any sort, but it's not a school or somewhere else where it's restricted, you can still conceal carry there. If they find out you've got it, the most they can do is ask you to leave.
Correct. In Florida law, signs don't carry the weight of law, so any private business that posts the sign, the sign doesn't mean anything.
Oh, okay.
They have to tell you in person. So, I'll give a great example of a business that goes to the extreme. The Walt Disney Corporation, they have metal detectors, and they have those live scan machines at, their parks and downtown Disney Springs and all that. So they, you walk through their metal detector, if you have a firearm, and they determine you do, and they ask you, hey, you please lock it up in your vehicle. They could do that. But, if I walk into the local mall here, they have a sign that says, no firearms, but the sign carries no weight of law. Someone from the mall would have to tell me in person, hey, please secure your firearm. Now, the only change in Florida law, because Florida doesn't have an exemption to where if you have a permit, you can carry in some places versus without.
Okay.
The only change is due to federal law. You have the Federal Gun-Free School Zone Act, which is basically written that if you're within 1,000 feet of a school zone and you have a permit, you're not on school property, you're just within 1,000 feet of them and you have a permit, you're not violating federal law.
I see.
But if you are carrying without a permit, you are violating federal law, but that's not an issue of state law. That's an issue of federal law. And just to segue segue into something else. Florida's law is full reciprocity. As long as you are able to legally own and carry a firearm, and you're from any part of the United States, you can carry in Florida. So if you're from New York, if you're from Puerto Rico, if you're from Guam, if you're from Washington State, it doesn't matter. If it's, you know, part of the U.S. and you can legally own and carry it, you can carry in Florida.
Well, I think people still pick Florida as a vacation destination and a destination to possibly move to. So that's something that's important to a lot of people when they decide, okay, I do want to move. Where could I move? Heck, I know a guy that will only travel through states to get to Florida that he's not going to have a problem yeah. with a firearm in his vehicle. But you've got to pay attention to that because nobody wants to get arrested, especially from the big push that we, you know, the Second Amendment's been, you know, on. It's been terrible.
Yeah, the left is going to try to fight this in every way, shape, and form, and in the end, we're going to be victorious and we're going to win. And the beautiful thing with the Bruin decision is that it has now put us on the offensive and the gun grabbers on the defensive, because they have to prove with text, history, and tradition that the gun control they want to push existed in 1791. Which, guess what? There wasn't a whole lot of gun control that existed in 1791.
Well, for the same group that's pushing against Sound of Freedom, are pushing against Second Amendment, that's all I need to know about you.
It's true. That's a great point. Lewis, it's great having you on today, my friend. Remind people again, it's at gunowners.org, correct?
You got that right, gunowners.org, and it's as simple as $25 a year. And I can tell you this, I've spent $25 on far more ludicrous, worthless things. Spending $25 a year to protect our Second Amendment rights, that is the best way you can invest $25. You get a whole lot of bang for your buck.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, good luck on finding that. Is it a breakdown? Is that what you're looking for?
A top break. Top break. They called it the 44 double action top break. They're out there. They're about... 15 to 3,000, depending on condition.
Too bad you didn't have any COVID cash right now. Maybe you could pick one up.
Yeah. Lewis, we'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.
Thanks, gentlemen. You have yourself a great one.
All right. Fantastic. Good to know they've got that in Florida.
Yeah. And stay cool down there, Lewis. Man, it's hot. I've been hearing record-breaking reports. Remember Cindy Pressler from St. Louis?
I do.
She's down in
Miami.
Naples.
Miami now.
She is in Miami, yeah. They've been breaking records down there. But one way to cool off. How about some ice cream?
Yeah, from Clementine's. We're going to talk to them up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Summertime sip, babe, need something to keep you cool. Ah, now summertime sip, babe, need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though, Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is.
One of my favorite concert memories right there, 1981. I went to see Van Halen live in Dayton, Ohio. Middle of the concert, the music stops. Out walks David Lee Roth with an ice cream shaped guitar.
Oh, no.
And starts
way.
Playing this. It was awesome.
Wow.
And he was playing the guitar on the beginning of this. And then, of course, Edward kicks in here very shortly with the finale for Ice Cream Man.
I was 14. Mm-hmm. I wasn't at a concert.
Oh, stop.
I was 10.
Stop.
Brutal.
Making me feel old. Well, the reason we bring that up is that this weekend, particularly Sunday, is a very important day when it comes to ice cream. It is National Ice Cream Day. So if you're going to be out and about this weekend, you need to have some ice cream. Tamara Keefe is joining us right now, the owner of Clementine's Naughty and Nice Ice Creamery. And Tamara, welcome into the show.
Good morning. Happy day to you both.
Yeah, no kidding. It is a happy day.
I'll tell you what. I am so proud of you on how much you guys have grown, because I was introduced to you a couple of years ago, and wow, just congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for sending over samples this morning. I forget which flavor they were, but they were both delicious.
We've got the peachy and the pineapple.
Peachy heat cheesecake and the pineapple sorbet.
Yes. Yes, those are perfect summer flavors.
And, you know, the show is called Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. So go to the gun range, and it could be hot, and then go get you some ice cream, certainly for, you know, which I believe we should celebrate the entire month. Just like they were talking about American Pride Month, let's do American Ice Cream Month. How about that idea?
I like that idea. Are you
like a lot of retailers having no problem finding employees?
You know what? We have, I believe, a really great culture, and I think the fact that people are so happy all the time coming in. I think our team, you know, we call it the Clement team. The Clement team is really happy because you have happy customers every day. So we don't actually have a problem like a lot of other people do.
Nice.
I think I'm kind of nice to work for.
And, you know, I've always worried that if I worked in a donut shop or an ice cream shop, I'd have to be at the gym all the time. But tell us a little bit about the unique approach you've taken with this ice cream.
Well, you know, it's Clementine's Naughty and Nice ice cream. So our naughty ice creams are boozy and fun. And then we have nice creams for everybody in the whole family. And then we have, like, a whole line of non-dairy vegan ice creams for people who can't have dairy. So, you know, as a micro creamery, you know, we make everything in-house. And so it's just, it's kind of, we make ice cream the way it used to be made. It's not like the junk you find in the grocery stores and stuff. It's made by real people.
I love that. And I can attest that when you do work in a donut shop, which my mom owned a Mr. Donut.
Did she really?
You don't have to go to the gym. You can look like this if you don't, but so I'm going to give you the question that they always gave me. You know, do you get sick of donuts, Tamara?
No.
Do you get sick of ice cream?
No, I don't. I still eat it every day.
Good for you. Good for you.
Right? Everything in moderation. And the beauty of our ice cream is it's so decadent and rich. You don't have to eat a lot of it to become super satiated, right? So you can come in and buy a pint and, like, every day, go in and couple it, you know, have a couple of spoonfuls, right?
Right.
And then feel good about it.
Yeah.
Moderation and in moderation.
Yeah, no kidding. So I know that it's a trade secret, but what can you give us an idea what the process is? Were you the first one to try to infuse alcohol into some of the naughty ice cream? Is it difficult?
It is.
What can you tell us about it?
It is, and I can't. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh no!
It's a secret. But you know, I was the first person in the country to do super boozy ice cream back in 2014. And now, some places you'll see a little bit of it, but they use flavors and they don't use all the alcohol. And we use the real stuff, right? So when you come in and have our maple bourbon with salted candied pecans, right, you're going to taste that really beautiful bourbon in the ice cream, or the champagne sorbet, you'll taste the champagne, or the chocolate cabernet, you'll taste the cabernet and chocolate. So it's a unique process. It's definitely a differentiator for us. And, you know, I love feedback that I get from lots of dads out there who are like, I'm such a better dad now because I take my kids for ice cream all the time and give my wife a break, right? They get the boozy ice cream, right? And the kids get the nice, and mom gets a break, and everyone's happy.
Mark, did you just find another guest for the MASH podcast?
I might have. I love bourbon. I talk about it all the time. So I'm going to have to find. I'm going to have to sample the maple. Is it maple bourbon? Is that what you got?
Yeah, that's our number one boozy flavor. Is our maple bourbon?
It's really good, Mark. Oh,
so do you make it in one location and then distribute it to the locations, or do you make it at all the different locations?
We have a central kitchen commissary. In fact, I just built a 25,000 square foot ice cream production facility in St. Louis City. So we make all of the ice cream there. We have about 50 people, 50 families who are supported, who work in making all of our ice creams here in St. Louis. So it's pretty cool.
That's
to think about, you know, 8 years ago, it was just me in my kitchen. And now, you know, we have 198 families who are supported in St. Louis. So when you come in, know that, like, it's not going to some big company. You're actually taking care of the people who live in the city and all around the city by all of our locations.
And that's the growth Bo was talking about a minute ago. So if you started in 2014, you're coming up just on your 10th year here next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We opened our first shop in May of 2015.
Okay.
And the origin story of the name of Clementine's. Who is Clementine?
Clementine's was actually my grandmother's best friend. And I looked up to her so much, and I thought she was the most beautiful creature I had ever seen at that point. And I kind of grew up saying, oh, someday I'm going to have a little girl and name her Clementine. And I have not been blessed with that in life so far. But I was able to start this awesome ice cream company, and it's kind of my baby. So I named it Clementine.
What did you do before? What I mean, because this was a pretty big why in the road from your previous career, correct?
Yeah. I did 20 plus years in corporate America. I had my dream job, like as everyone strives to get to some point. And I think I finally got to the place I always wanted to get to, and I realized, wait, I'm not happy and I'm not fulfilled and I want to do something different. And so I decided, hey, you know, I've made ice cream my whole life since I was a kid. After church on Sundays, we used to make it as a family, and it was just something that has always stayed with me. And I ended up working in the food industry at the end of my career, and it just seemed like a natural jump off progression point to go do something. And I wanted to build something in St. Louis, and I wanted to make people happy, and I wanted to follow my passion every day. So, like I said, I'll probably never make as much money as I used to, but I've never been happier. It was the best decision I made in my life.
How great is that? And, you know, it's summertime in St. Louis, and people need to cool down. If they can find a Clementine's Naughty and Nice ice creamery somewhere, go on in. Are you having any kind of special or anything special for the day of National Ice Cream Day? Sunday.
We are. It's our biggest holiday of the year. And so the first 50 customers in line at every location, they get a commemorative t-shirt. The first person in line gets a really cool special poster that we have designed every year. We have lots of giveaways, so many fun things happening. It's such a great energy. And it's become quite their tradition for lots and lots of people and families here in St. Louis. So, you know, everyone, please come out. You won't regret it. It's a great weekend. It's a fun thing to celebrate. It's National Ice Cream Day.
Good. It's good stuff, too. The Peachy Heat Cheesecake, I tried it, and the first, I swashed it around in my mouth a little bit after I swallowed it, and I'm like, I taste jalapenos. I've never had ice cream with that, but it's not overwhelming or anything, but you get that out of the back end of the ice cream.
Yeah, you know, we made for the Peachy Heat Cheesecake ice cream. We use peaches from Eckert's, which are local from Illinois. And we make a homemade peach jalapeno jam, and then we blend it in with our dairy. So you get this, like, beautiful peach fruit forward front, and then kind of a minute later you get that little low heat on the backside. And it's super delicious.
Nothing to be afraid of. I like a little heat. I like flavor. I don't like pain, and there's no pain in that. And all great ingredients, Tamara. It's really, really good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It's exciting.
Eight different locations now. What's the website, Tamara?
It's www.clementineswithanscreamery.com.
Excellent. Well, I direct people to go there. Check them out. Enjoy National Ice Cream Day on Sunday, if you can get out there. Thank you so much, Tamara. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a delicious day, everyone.
How perfect. Well, we started it with
well
a delicious
done.
Day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No kidding, we did.
Okay, good stuff.
The maple bourbon. That's what I got to try now, Carl.
Oh, my.
It's really good. And then you add more nuts to it and then a little chocolate
sauce. I wonder if they could add bacon to it. Come on.
They
bacon,
actually,
maple
they
bourbon?
Have had a bacon ice cream before.
Do you have a location near you?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's one nice. Right in South City.
I need to find one.
She's still on the line.
Clementine's Creamery.
Yeah. Real quick, are you there still, Tamara?
I am.
Real quick, list off the locations, because I'm like, I've never seen one. I've never driven by one. And I'll go to the website, but if you want to just rattle off the eight locations.
Sure. We have one in Lafayette Square, one in South City on Mackland in the Southampton neighborhood. We have one in Clayton on DeMunn. We have one out in Lake St. Louis. We have one in Kirkwood. We have one in Town and Country. We have one in Edwardsville. And our newest location, we just opened in the Central West End.
Oh, Miss Jefferson County. Come on to Jefferson County. Then I'll be in there all the time.
I'm working my way there, boys. I'm going to get there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tamara. Oh,
you're
goodness.
Welcome.
All right.
See you guys.
Yep. Have a good weekend. We appreciate that. Wow. A flavorful way to finish off this edition of Second Amendment Radio.
I love it. You eat ice cream, and I'll close out the show. Thank you for listening. Share the show. It's always a podcast on the Odyssey app. It's Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Mark, be safe on your trip.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
I'm excited for you, man.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
I travel by.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Summertime sip, babe, need something to keep you cool. Now summertime sip, babe, need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is.
One of my favorite concert memories right there, 1981. I went to see Van Halen live in Dayton, Ohio. Middle of the concert, the music stops. Out walks David Lee Roth with an ice cream shaped guitar.
Oh, no.
And starts
way.
Playing this. It was awesome.
Wow.
And he was playing the guitar on the beginning of this. And then, of course, Edward kicks in here very shortly with the finale for Ice Cream Man.
I was 14. Mm-hmm. I wasn't at a concert.
Oh, stop.
I was 10.
Stop.
Brutal.
Making me feel old. Well, the reason we bring that up is that this weekend, particularly Sunday, is a very important day when it comes to ice cream. It is National Ice Cream Day. So if you're going to be out and about this weekend, you need to have some ice cream. Tamara Keefe is joining us right now, the owner of Clementine's Naughty and Nice Ice Creamery. And Tamara, welcome into the show.
Good morning. Happy day to you both.
Yeah, no kidding. It is a happy day.
I'll tell you what. I am so proud of you on how much you guys have grown, because I was introduced to you a couple of years ago, and wow, just congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for sending over samples this morning. I forget which flavor they were, but they were both delicious.
We've got the peachy and the pineapple.
Peachy heat cheesecake and the pineapple sorbet.
Mm. Yes, those are perfect summer flavors.
And, you know, the show is called Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, so go to the gun range, and it could be hot, and then go get you some ice cream, certainly for, you know, which I believe we should celebrate the entire month. Just like they were talking about American Pride Month, let's do American Ice Cream Month. How about that idea?
I like that idea. Are you
like a lot of retailers having no problem finding employees?
You know what? We have, I believe, a really great culture. And I think the fact that people are so happy all the time coming in, I think our team, you know, we call it the Clement team. The Clement team is really happy because you have happy customers every day. So we don't actually have a problem like a lot of other people do.
Nice.
I think I'm kind of nice to work for.
And, you know, I've always worried that if I worked in a donut shop or an ice cream shop, I'd have to be at the gym all the time. But tell us a little bit about the unique approach you've taken with this ice cream.
Well, you know, it's Clementine's Naughty and Nice ice cream. So our naughty ice creams are boozy and fun. And then we have nice creams for everybody in the whole family. And then we have, like, a whole line of non-dairy vegan ice creams for people who can't have dairy. So, you know, as a micro creamery, you know, we make everything in-house. And so we make ice cream the way it used to be made. It's not like the junk you find in the grocery stores and stuff. It's made by real people.
I love that. And I can attest that when you do work in a donut shop, which my mom owned a Mr. Donut.
Did she really?
You don't have to go to the gym. You can look like this if you don't, but so I'm going to give you the question that they always gave me. You know, do you get sick of donuts? Tamara,
no.
Do you get sick of ice cream?
No, I don't. I still eat it every day.
Good for you.
Right? Everything in moderation. And the beauty of our ice cream is it's so decadent and rich. You don't have to eat a lot of it to become super satiated, right? So you can come in and buy a pint and, like, every day, go in and have a couple of spoonfuls, right? And then feel good about it.
Yeah.
Moderation and in moderation.
Yeah, no kidding. So I know that it's a trade secret, but what can you give us an idea what the process is? Were you the first one to try to infuse alcohol into some of the naughty ice cream? Is it difficult? What
it is.
What can you tell us about it?
It is, and I can't. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh no!
It's a secret. But you know, I was the first person in the country to do super boozy ice cream back in 2014. And now, some places you'll see a little bit of it, but they use flavors and they don't use all the alcohol. And we use the real stuff, right? So when you come in and have our maple bourbon with salted candied pecans, right? You're going to taste that really beautiful bourbon in the ice cream, or the champagne sorbet, you'll taste the champagne, or the chocolate cabernet, you'll taste the cabernet and chocolate. So it's a unique process. It's definitely a differentiator for us. And, you know, I love feedback that I get from lots of dads out there who are like, I'm such a better dad now because I take my kids for ice cream all the time and give my wife a break, right? They get the boozy ice cream, right? And the kids get the nice, and mom gets a break, and everyone's happy.
Mark, did you just find another guest for the MASH podcast?
I might have. I love bourbon. I talk about it all the time. So I'm going to have to find, I'm going to have to sample the maple. Is it maple bourbon? Is that what you got?
Yeah, that's our number one boozy flavor is our maple bourbon.
It's really good, Mark. Oh,
so do you make it in one location and then distribute it to the locations, or do you make it at all the different locations?
We have a central kitchen commissary. In fact, I just built a 25,000 square foot ice cream production facility in St. Louis City. So we make all of the ice cream there. We have about 50 people, 50 families who are supported, who work in making all of our ice creams here in St. Louis. So it's pretty cool.
That's
to think about, you know, 8 years ago, it was just me in my kitchen. And now, we have 198 families who are supported in St. Louis. So when you come in, know that, like, it's not going to some big company. You're actually taking care of the people who live in the city and all around the city by all of our locations.
And that's the growth Bo was talking about a minute ago. So if you started in 2014, you're coming up just on your 10th year here next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We opened our first shop in May of 2015.
Okay.
And the origin story of the name of Clementines. Who is Clementine?
Clementines was actually my grandmother's best friend. And I looked up to her so much, and I thought she was the most beautiful creature I had ever seen at that point. And I kind of grew up saying, oh, someday I'm going to have a little girl and name her Clementine. And I have not been blessed with that in life so far. But I was able to start this awesome ice cream company, and it's kind of my baby, so I named it Clementine.
What did you do before? What I mean, because this was a pretty big why in the road from your previous career, correct?
Yeah. I did 20-plus years in corporate America. I had my dream job, like as everyone strives to get to some point, and I think I finally got to the place I always wanted to get to, and I realized, wait, I'm not happy and I'm not fulfilled and I want to do something different. And so I decided, hey, you know, I've made ice cream my whole life since I was a kid. After church on Sundays, we used to make it as a family, and it was just something that has always stayed with me. And I ended up working in the food industry at the end of my career, and it just seemed like a natural jump off progression point to go do something. And I wanted to build something in St. Louis, and I wanted to make people happy, and I wanted to follow my passion every day. So, like I said, I'll probably never make as much money as I used to, but I've never been happier. It was the best decision I made in my life.
How great is that? And, it's summertime in St. Louis, and people need to cool down. If they can find a Clementine's Naughty and Nice ice creamery somewhere, go on in. Are you having any kind of special or anything special for the day of National Ice Cream Day? Sunday.
We are. It's our biggest holiday of the year. And so the first 50 customers in line at every location, they get a commemorative t-shirt. The first person in line gets a really cool special poster that we have designed every year. We have lots of giveaways, so many fun things happening. It's such a great energy. And it's become quite their tradition for lots and lots of people and families here in St. Louis. So, you know, everyone, please come out. You won't regret it. It's a great weekend. It's a fun thing to celebrate. It's National Ice Cream Day.
It's good stuff, too. The Peachy Heat Cheesecake, I tried it, and the first, I swashed it around in my mouth a little bit after I swallowed it, and I'm like, I taste jalapenos. I've never had ice cream with that, but it's not overwhelming or anything, but you get that out of the back end of the ice cream.
Yeah, you know, we made for the Peachy Heat Cheesecake ice cream. We use peaches from Eckert's, which are local from Illinois. And we make a homemade peach jalapeno jam, and then we blend it in with our dairy. So you get this, like, beautiful peach fruit-forward front, and then kind of a minute later you get that little low heat on the backside, and it's super delicious.
Nothing to be afraid of. I like a little heat. I like flavor. I don't like pain, and there's no pain in that. And all great ingredients, Tamara. It's really, really good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It's exciting.
Eight different locations now. What's the website, Tamara?
It's www.clementineswithanscreamery.com.
Excellent. Well, I direct people to go there. Check them out. Enjoy National Ice Cream Day on Sunday, if you can get out there. Thank you so much, Tamara. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a delicious day, everyone.
How perfect. Well, we started it with
well
a delicious
done.
Day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No kidding, we did.
Okay, good stuff.
The maple bourbon. That's what I got to try now, Carl.
Oh, my.
It's really good. And then you add more nuts to it and then a little chocolate
sauce. I wonder if they could add bacon to it. Come on.
Bacon, maple bourbon.
They have had a bacon ice cream before.
Do you have a location near you?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's one right in South City.
I need to find one.
She's still on the line.
Clementine's Creamery.
Yeah. Real quick, are you there still, Tamara?
I am.
Real quick, list off the locations, because I'm like, I've never seen one. I've never driven by one. And I'll go to the website, but if you want to just rattle off the eight locations.
Sure. We have one in Lafayette Square, one in South City on Macklin in the Southampton neighborhood. We have one in Clayton on DeMunn. We have one out in Lake St. Louis. We have one in Kirkwood. We have one in Town and Country. We have one in Edwardsville. And our newest location, we just opened in the Central West End.
Oh, Miss Jefferson County. Come on to Jefferson County. Then I'll be in there all the time.
I'm working my way there, boys. I'm going to get there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tamara. Oh,
you're
goodness.
Welcome.
All right.
See you guys.
Yep. Have a good weekend. We appreciate that. Wow. A flavorful way to finish off this edition of Second Amendment Radio.
I love it. You eat ice cream, and I'll close out the show.
Thank you
for listening. Share the show. It's always a podcast on the Odyssey app. It's Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Mark, be safe on your trip.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm excited.
See you guys in a couple weeks.
I'm excited for you, man.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
I travel vicariously with you.
I'll give you a full report.
All my flavors.
Pew, pew.
See you, boys.
To satisfy.
Get more at 971talk.com.